today. Remington settles with Sandy Hook families. Prince Andrew settles with his sexual assault accuser. And Justin Trudeau goes full tyrant mode. We've got all that and more coming up, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and I am joined today by Blaze TV contributor Yaku Buyens, host of The Bottom Line, and also Blaze TV host himself, Pat Gray, host of Pat Gray Unleashed, who you've been noticeably absent from the program, but I heard you were off doing like fun things, like going on family vacations.
Yeah, there was a couple
weeks of
COVID, then there was a vacation there somewhere.
Yeah.
Where did you vacate?
Disney and Universal.
Oh, cool.
Because you have, like, your family is like a million people. So is that even
a million?
Is that a fun family vacation or is it just too tiring?
It was mixed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work going to Disney.
It really is.
It's work.
It's a lot of work and exercise.
Yeah.
We walked about, I don't know, 1,700 miles.
Yeah.
I guess it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
1,700 miles.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
He counted. His Apple Watch, which is not with him today.
Right.
Yeah, I know. After those vacations, I'm always like, why did I do this again? And I took off work, and now I'm still tired, and I have to go back to work. So.
More tired than before
yeah,
exactly.
In fact.
You need a vacation.
This is not refreshing.
Yeah.
All right. So see if this story makes your blood boil, guys. The families of 9 victims of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting have agreed to a $73 million settlement of a lawsuit against the maker of the rifle that was used to kill the victims in that shooting. Obviously, this was kind of a very key case in suing the gun maker for, again, God rest all of their souls, right? But suing the gun manufacturer, the gun maker, for the gun working, I mean, it really boggles the mind as to how or why maybe Remington thought that this particular case had any sort of merit. But apparently they focused this particular, this was a civil court case, obviously, focused on how the firearm used by the Newtown shooter was marketed. They're saying that it targeted younger at-risk males in marketing and product placement in what they say are violent video games. And in one of Remington's ads, they said, well, it featured a rifle against a plain backdrop and the phrase, consider your man card, reissued. And so, again, this did not make it all the way to court. This was a settlement, but Remington did decide to settle for $73 million. I just really worry about the precedent that this sets on the Second Amendment. And again, should this have happened? Absolutely not. But how can you hold the gun maker responsible for the gun being used in an illegal act? It just kind of boggles the mind.
This should make Glock and anybody else just really shudder because it does set a precedent. And in any other industry, would you be able to do this? If it's human error, for instance, in an automobile, you can't human error sue the auto manufacturer because the car happens to work, because in some branding campaign, they happen to say, hey, this car is going to make you feel manly.
Right.
And all of a sudden now, oh, that made me misuse. And this is crazy to me, but it shows the power of lobbyists to you. It shows the power of lawyers, these ambulance chasing lawyers that will find an angle and go back in the archives and find an ad or a commercial or a slogan, and they build a case. And that's why it settled out of court. I almost want to say, go to court.
Yeah.
Go to court.
Right.
Don't settle.
Yeah.
I would say
call
that.
them on their bluff. Play poker and go, I'm calling you on it.
Right.
Don't settle, because by settling, it's a huge blow to the Second Amendment and gun manufacturers, because now how do you stop this train? I would not have settled.
Yeah, well, and I mean, just for some additional perspective, this wasn't an illegal gun, right? It was legally owned by the shooter's mother. So it's really difficult to...
But the gun doesn't shoot itself.
Well, right, but I'm saying it's very difficult to ascertain how in the world the gun maker would have been responsible when they made the gun, and then it was sold to someone legally, and then what happened after that point, the gun maker is already twice removed from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remington supposed to do a mental check on everybody who buys their guns? It's impossible. That's what the government is doing. That's the FBI check that you have to go through. And they do the gun checks. You know, they act as though nobody goes through that process, but almost everyone does. But Remington doesn't. Why aren't they suing the FBI? Why isn't the FBI being held responsible?
Good point.
Because it was legally purchased. Person who's unstable got a hold of it, and there's nothing Remington could do about this. Mm-hmm. Are we going to do this with the makers of knives now? If you get knifed, are you going to hold knife manufacturers liable for this? Mm-hmm. It's really a dangerous precedent. It could bring down the Second Amendment.
Yeah, really. If you just chip away at it,
Just keep chipping away at it,
and you make it impossible indirectly for people to be able to purchase firearms and exercise their Second Amendment. I do find it interesting, too, because, I mean, Pat, I agree with what you're saying, and I feel like if you follow that logic, if they just have to hold someone responsible, you mentioned the FBI, that would be a great one. But also, if that's their logic, hold the mother's estate responsible, right? I realize that the mother herself, he shot her, and then he killed himself. But like, if she legally purchased the firearm and she made it accessible, or he got it somehow from her, and she knew that he was mentally, like, she should have been the one to know that he was mentally unwell, then wouldn't that have been on her? Because her mental check would have checked out just fine. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's like, where do you...
But see, Sarah, that's an endless pit, though.
Oh, I agree. No, I totally agree. But
I can almost, and I don't know for sure, but maybe we can check this. The lawyer that took this case that went to families in distress that said, look, there's no way where I can get you money is probably an anti-Second Amendment lawyer that saw the opportunity and said, we're going to go after the gun manufacturer, and I think we can put enough pressure to settle. We're in the middle of a civil suit now where a federal agent ran one of our employees over with his car. There's a federal suit, but the civil suit, and good luck on these civil suits. What these lawyers, and we've interviewed five lawyers and we decided not to go with any of them, because all of them walk into the office and start finding the angle to get the money. By hook or crook, because that's how they get paid. And so they'll put pressure, and then they get the lobbyist and the anti-Second Amendment, you know, crowd on top of it, and then the gun manufacturer caves, which I wish they didn't, but it's such a slippery slope, because how do you hold one individual accountable for another individual's actions? And that's what it's really about here. It unfortunately, the buck stops with the one who pulled the trigger, who abused the weapon, who did harm on people, but lawyers are not going to get money there. So I'd rather say go after the FBI. I like that. Yeah, go after the enforcement agency who is to vet and verify the gun purchase in the user.
Right. If they screw up on it, then the FBI, they're responsible.
Yeah. Right.
It's just as logical as it's more logical than the gun manufacturer. But these are all this is all backdoor access to the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. They're also trying to limit or eliminate ammo. And that's another way that they can stop guns, gun use, and handles and barrels and clips and magazines. They're going after all of it.
Yeah.
And so...
And making banks not be able to give loans to gun manufacturers, companies that do business with gun manufacturers.
I mean,
that's exactly how you do
They know they can't take down the Second Amendment head on. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to go in the back door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is really, really scary. Let me switch gears here to speaking of settlements. Let's get to this Prince Andrew sexual assault case. This was a civil sexual assault case brought against him by, this is the same accuser that was involved in the Jeffrey Epstein accusations, but Yaku, she was not allowed, her testimony was not allowed in court, correct, with Jeffrey Epstein?
So Virginia Roberts Guffrey, who's the number one plaintiff here, because she has the most information, they silenced her. She was not allowed to testify against Ghislaine Maxwell by her own, by prosecution, which we can talk about that. So no, she was not allowed to testify. She sued the prince. It was a small window after the statute of limitations, so she sued him. It was the last remaining suit hanging over this whole thing, and I warned and I said, this guy will not see the inside of a courtroom.
You sure did.
They're going to plead it down, and he's going to settle out of court. And this is what happens every single time, and it's an injustice.
And so they have reached an out-of-court settlement, as Yaku mentioned. And, of course, the parties will file a stipulated dismissal upon her receipt of the settlement. They're not disclosing the amount. And he intends to make a substantial donation to the charity of his accuser's choice in support of victims' rights. It just, gosh, it feels a whole lot like there's a lot of like nasty sexual assaulters and pedophiles who just, I don't know, like run things and are at very high places, and there's just never any repercussions for them.
Feels a lot like there's separate rules too, right? For the elites than there are for us. If that was one of us, we'd be in jail right now.
Throw away the key.
In front of a jury, and in that jurisdiction, and I know the law, it's 30 years minimum. 30 years. That's what you would get.
Yeah.
For assaulting a minor and sexually abusing a minor. Of course. You should go in front of the American people called a jury. Mm-hmm. These guys never see the inside of a courtroom.
Nope.
Yeah. So, Yaku, what is this? Is this all? This is just going to be swept under the rug now.
Yeah, this honestly was the last big. Look, there's still the sentencing to happen with Maxwell, right? But good luck with that. It's going to be swept under the rug. You're not going to see anybody in that black book. And we have all the names come out. And this was the only guy. The hope was that the prince Andrew would stand in front of a jury, and then the cookie would start crumbling and they pull more and more and more in. No one else is directly sued. There's no civil suit against anybody else. It was Epstein, Maxwell, and him. Mm-hmm. Well, the other two, Epstein did not kill himself, you know, my opinion. And now here's Maxwell. She's going to get some sentence. She's going to plea it down to some degree, and I expect a plea deal there too. And this guy's walking. He's going to be back. He's back to his high life. So they stripped him of a medal or two. So what does that make, you know, and a title or two? He paid off by abusing children, and if he's done it to one, he's done it to many.
And you have to believe that Buckingham Palace saw this coming, because back in January, his military titles had been returned to the Queen, so he's not allowed to use those any longer. He was defending his case as a private citizen, Buckingham Palace said. And, well, I mean, I guess this is his punishment. He doesn't get to use his Royal Highness anymore.
It's like bad boy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Bad boy.
Oh,
yeah.
No. You can't use your Royal Highness.
Yeah. So.
But he can use the cash that the royal family's been paid for how many years now. And he still lives the high life, and he still can do whatever he wants, and he's still free.
Exactly. Right, he's using that cash to be able to cover up all of the atrocities that he did.
Right.
Yeah.
And like Yaku said, if he's done it once, I mean, you don't just do that once.
You don't abuse a child once. And even if it was something like mandatory rehabilitation, mandatory programs that he has to go into. You know,
they didn't mention anything like that, though.
No, there's zero. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. So you abuse a child, you pay some cash because of your name, because you're in the high life society, because I'm telling you, they know if he went in front of a judge, there was going to be hundreds, if not thousands, that would get called.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody.
Yeah. All right. We've got more to come. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Z-Stack. So I don't know if you guys have been paying attention in the last 2 years, but you cannot leave it up to the government to tell you how you should manage your own health. That is where Z-Stack comes in. Let me tell you, Z-Stack is something that you need right now. It is an immune boosting supplement and includes zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, vitamin D. This was formulated by Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. This is the doctor that President Trump actually credited with his early successful, by the way, treatment protocol and his decision to take hydroxychloroquine whenever he got COVID. This has been scientifically formulated. It's kosher. It's GMP certified. It is, by the way, produced right here in the USA. Do not wait until you get sick to start taking this, okay? By the way, Z-Stack is formulated not only to help with COVID, but a bunch of flu variants as well. So this is something that will help you with any sort of illness that you have. This is all good things that you can be putting in your body. Keep your body prepared by preparing your immune system. You got to go to zstacklife.com/Y, enter promo code Y to get a discount off of your first order. Again, guys, do not wait until you are sick. Start taking this so that you don't get sick. zstacklife.com/Y, promo code Y. I hope you took your blood pressure medication for this one. A longtime Forbes contributor says that he lost his job with them after he was pressured to stop his investigative reporting on Dr. Anthony Fauci. Look, this is Adam Andrzejewski. We have him with us. He is the CEO and founder of OpenTheBooks.com. And Adam, I want you to kind of to give the audience the play-by-play of exactly what happened. But I guess Forbes isn't a big fan of actual, like, real journalism. Is that what I am to believe here?
Well, Forbes was actually a good platform for me for about 8 years. I put up 206 pieces. Sarah, I estimate that I wrote 250,000 words of investigation and oversight on the Forbes platform. But just recently, things got a little bit odd. If you remember, Roger Marshall, the U.S. Senator, questioned Dr. Anthony Fauci under oath in a Senate hearing about his finances and cited Forbes, and that was my column. And then Marshall wrote a demand letter to the National Institutes of Health demanding Fauci's financials, and he cited my column at Forbes. And so this put Forbes in the white hot spotlight, and they actually pushed back against me. Six of the top executives at NIH wrote a letter to me and to the top executive at Forbes, couched in terms of a corrections email with no substantial corrections. And you only send that corrections email to the top guy at Forbes, the chief content officer, if you want to communicate a soft message. Quickly, I changed. I think it was one word in the piece. I added a little bit of context. It was basically a difference. You know, there was basically no difference to my column before or after the NIH pushback. But it communicated to the Forbes editor, the top guy, displeasure with the Forbes platform being used to give oversight to Dr. Anthony Fauci. And sure enough, within 24 hours, Forbes editors told me that I could no longer publish on Fauci. 10 days later, they canceled my column.
Wow. Golly. So, and did you, had a retirement package as well? Is that correct?
So no, we gave oversight to Dr. Anthony Fauci's forecasted retirement package at the federal level. At Forbes, I was not an employee. I was a contributor for nearly 8 years. The last approximately 4 years, I was a senior policy contributor. Wow. So my columns just in the past 3 years did 13 million views on 113 columns. They were popular. They were impactful. And I'm proud of the work over there. And Forbes has left my author archive live. So, you know, that's a testament to the quality of my work over a long period of time.
So, Adam, have you ever gotten the sense, you've worked with Forbes for a long time, had you ever gotten the sense previous to this that they had pushed back on anything that you had written? And I don't know where you align politically. I don't think I need to know that, because it sounds like you're going where the investigation needs to go, not trying to, satisfy one side or the other. So had you, in all of your work that you've done with Forbes, had you gotten any sort of sense that they were going to easily silence someone because they're pressured from, you know, a government branch?
Well, things changed when I gave oversight to Dr. Anthony Fauci. But I have to tell you, for years, the editors had my back. When powerful politicians in Illinois, the attorney general and the governor, had disputes with my column, they had my back. Same thing in Oregon with the governor, Kate Brown. When her PR team pushed back, Forbes editors had my back. To put this in context, in the year 2020, I put up 36 pieces of investigation, and 24 of those pieces were editors' picks. They were chosen by Forbes editors to showcase on the platform. My first piece that I wrote in 2021, we wrote the fact that Dr. Anthony Fauci was the number one most highly compensated federal employee. The piece has 900,000 views. I put up 54 pieces last year. Not a single one was an editor's pick. Everything changed, it seemed, after I wrote about Dr. Anthony Fauci.
And what do you think, what is it exactly about Dr. Anthony Fauci? Because as you just said, you did write things that people could perceive as critical of government officials. So what is so special about Anthony Fauci that he gets all of this protection, do you think?
So Dr. Anthony Fauci has commandeered the organ of state power and authority. What many people don't know is that at the National Institutes of Health, they employ 86 public affairs officers for a total payroll of $15 million a year. And many people don't know what those public affairs officers are doing because Fauci's doing all the media. For example, he did 400 media interviews over the first 18 months of the pandemic. But Sarah, now we have a clue as to what those PR officers are doing. Six of them jumped on that quote-unquote corrections email, copied the top guy at Forbes, and they were very effective with their pressure tactic and got my column canceled.
Jeez. Gentlemen, I'm sure you guys are shocked to hear that the government would be pressuring these media organizations to not report the truth.
Stunned.
Yeah.
Yeah, who would have guessed? It does seem like Fauci is untouchable, doesn't it, for some reason? Any time you speak about Fauci, if it doesn't toe the line on what the mainstream media says about Anthony Fauci, it's going to get flagged by YouTube or stopped on Twitter. And so it's not just Forbes. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of censoring going on when it comes to Anthony Fauci.
Even if you're just quoting something that he said 6 months ago or 9 months ago or a year ago, Oh, he said, don't wear masks, it's not necessary. Then he said, wear the masks. And he's flip-flopped on practically every issue.
Almost everything.
Even if you quoted something that he had said in the past and attributed it to him, you still could get hit with that.
Yeah, thank God for the blaze that we can speak the truth here, because it seems like it's the last bastion. You know, something I just want to say about Fauci. And I've got to draw this comparison between Fauci and Prince Andrew, because it's the same thing. These guys who are controlled by a higher authority and power, who answers to someone outside of those who are supposed to represent the American people, they are untouchable. Yeah. They can basically do whatever and just march on. This guy should be in jail. Fauci should be in jail. Pieces like what Adam wrote should be all over the place now more than ever. Like they're walking back, the NIH are walking back. You know, the science has changed all of a sudden. This guy can lie, steal, cheat, and nothing happens, because those who control him are truly the ones behind the curtain who make things happen and decide who plays and who doesn't play. And that's why he's untouchable, is because who's behind him.
It is interesting, though. I feel like the tides are turning a little bit. You don't see him on television, on all of the morning news shows on Sunday morning anymore. He's noticeably absent, I feel, right now. So it'll be interesting to see if they have decided to jump ship with him or not. Either way, Adam, we really appreciate your work in exposing all of this. And I want you to tell everyone, I know you are the founder of OpenTheBooks.com. I think you're doing tremendous work over there. Can you explain to the audience what it is that you guys do?
Yes, Sarah, we follow the money. So our columns are completely without politics. Our motto is every dime online in real time. And last year, to that end, we filed 47,000 Freedom of Information Act requests. You know, a couple of those requests were with the National Institutes of Health for Dr. Fauci's financials. And then in October, we had to file a federal lawsuit after 10 months to try to get NIH to produce those documents. We use Judicial Watch as our lawyers, and now the agency admits they're holding 1,200 pages of Dr. Fauci's financial information. And look, you know, the American Rescue Act, the COVID aid bill passed last year in the spring, had only 600 pages and spent $2 trillion. 1,200 pages of Fauci's financials, and every single page could be a national news story. But we won't be publishing it at Forbes because the column's been canceled.
Which is all the more reason you have to make sure to follow Adam Andrzejewski over at OpenTheBooks.com. Adam, thank you so much for all of your great work.
Thank you, Sarah.
All right. Look, before we go to break, I just want to thank our sponsor this segment, Keeps. So I know you males out there, first of all, I'm going to be a little sexist for a second. You don't go to the doctor for anything, okay? You could be like on death's doorstep and you're not going to go to the doctor. And I know some of you may be at the age where you're losing your hair, you got a little bit of hair loss, and you may be a little sensitive about it. So you're definitely not going to go for that either. This is where Keeps comes in, all right? Keeps offers doctor-recommended, clinically proven, research-backed treatments to stop hair loss, improve hair growth. keeps physicians are going to select the right products and treatments for your specific condition, and they will ship it directly to your door. By the way, these are all generic, so they're going to save you a ton of money, and you don't have to go to the pharmacy and deal with them to pick it up. Your plan comes with a full year of unlimited messaging, so you can connect with your doctor about anything, anytime. Jason Buttrell, who is a good friend of the program, he even admits it. He comes and sits here and he's like, I was bald. And you look at him on camera and he actually got that stimulated hair growth. He got regrowth back, which they say happens in like 66% of patients. Okay, so listen, hair loss stops with Keeps. You got to go to keeps.com/why. You can get 50% off your first order. That is 50, half off. Don't sleep on this. That is KEEPS.com/why. The latest on Canada, they have gone, well, Canada, the Canadian citizens have not gone full-blown crazy, but the government apparently has. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, we brought to you yesterday, invoked the Emergencies Act in an effort to crack down on protesters that have shut down, they say, parts of Ottawa and various border crossings with the United States. Now, I saw a video yesterday that was just, it was horrible, the acts that I was seeing. It was video of the protesters, and they were having a dance-off in the streets. Can you believe that?
So evil. How dangerous they are.
A dance-off.
Oh, my gosh, what dangerous terrorists.
These national domestic threat. Terrorists, racists.
Wow,
yes. All of the phobics.
Atrocious.
Okay?
Misogynists.
Yes, yes.
Bigots.
How dare they?
Yeah.
Dance parties. Oof. In the streets, dance contests. Even.
But how dare they?
I know. I mean, this is just ridiculous how they're. And remember, guys, we talked about this at the beginning. I was like, watch. They are giving these truckers the January 6th treatment. They will be called insurrectionists.
Oh,
they will be called all of these things. And here we are. So not only did Prime Minister Justin Trudeau invoke this Emergencies Act, I want to get into some of the additional things that the government is saying that they're going to do, because it is just full-blown tyranny over in Canada. Let's first listen to Justin Trudeau say that they are now, the federal powers can compel the local authorities or the local government contracted tow truck companies to remove the protesters' trucks. Watch.
One of the issues that we have seen is a challenge in getting tow trucks to actually show up to bring out, to move these large rigs. In in Windsor, we relied on generous partnership with the Americans to be able to get tow trucks to move the big trucks.
Well, that's embarrassing, America.
Now, with these measures that we've put in place, there will be an ability to compel, for just compensation, tow truck owners and operators to actually do the jobs for which they have contracts with various orders of government to keep highways and roads clear.
I love that. To compel with just compensation. Well, what happens if they say no?
Yeah.
Where's the penalty there?
Well, they're terrorists too, obviously.
Yeah, same treatment.
Obviously.
This is pathetic.
So it gets crazier. So later on, which, by the way, Justin, you need a haircut. Mullets are not still in. All right. You need a haircut. Canada's finance minister later said that banks and other financial institutions in Canada have the authority to temporarily cease providing financial services where the institution suspects that an account is being used to further the illegal blockades and occupations. They said this order covers both personal and corporate accounts. Guys, they're freezing people's bank accounts for donating to the Freedom Convoy. Watch.
The government is issuing an order with immediate effect under the Emergencies Act, authorizing Canadian financial institutions to temporarily cease providing financial services where the institution suspects that an account is being used to further the illegal blockades and occupations.
It's not proved.
It's nationalization.
This order covers both personal and corporate accounts. We are today serving notice. If your truck is being used in these illegal blockades, your corporate accounts will be frozen.
Oh.
Screw these people.
Yeah.
Screw these people. I'm so sick of this crap.
Me too.
And it's where they suspect. And I listened to the previous clip. It's not just if you donate. If you are using a bank account to further the protest, which means that could mean if I go buy
lunch, or buy gas,
lunch while I'm in the protest, I'm using my bank account for the protest. That's it.
And they could freeze
it. This is nationalization. This is what happens under tyrants.
Oh, yeah.
This is how African leaders operate when they decide what their people will and will not do. Yeah. This is beyond socialism. This is freaking a communist act. This guy's a disgrace. Fight, Canada. Fight.
Please stand the rest.
Stay in tents. Eat ramen noodles if you have to. Just stay.
Yeah, because imagine how bad it will get if these people back down and Justin Trudeau realizes, oh, if I really pull out the big guns,
they'll
do whatever I want them to do.
And he's really done that now. Yeah. He tried to cut off the funding through GoFundMe. He got them to cave.
Yeah.
But GiveSendGo has been hanging tough and telling them, look, you don't have any say over how we disperse the money that comes in?
Yep.
No.
Yep.
So they're trying to shut that down, too. And they're trying to shut them down. And they're trying to take control of agencies over whom they have no supervisory power. And it is really, like you said, Yaku, it's a communist action. It's a dictatorial
action. This is dictatorial.
It's getting to the point where Justin Trudeau needs a nuclear enema. It's about the time when... Maybe is that too far or is it time?
Probably. I think it's just right. It's about what he needs. The GiveSendGo
thing. I don't like this guy. I can barely stand to look at him.
I know.
About like Biden now.
I know. Yeah.
And you know, before you just don't care about Canada's leader.
Yeah, but they're one pack. It's like one pack. It's a global. And this is what I want people to see. This is not just America. Mm-hmm. It is a global reset. This is the ESG. This is the global innuendo and agenda, which they all signed on the dotted line.
They sure did.
The Trudeaus, the Bidens, the Clintons, the Obamas, they're all buddy-buddy. No matter, take the flag away. Mm-hmm. You can take boundaries and flags away. It's not about that. It's about their mission, and you're seeing it all over. You know, you're seeing, you know, what happened in Italy and France, and it's all those that signed that pact, signed their souls over to Satan, and said, hey, the people don't matter. We're about to come and reset this thing. So, no, I'm with you. The GiveSendGo thing, though, is interesting because, no, they don't have authority over GiveSendGo, but it still needs to run through a bank account in Canada.
Yeah, and that's
so
the problem.
They just choke it there. And then you had a lot of people say, well, just do Bitcoin.
And they're controlling that, too.
Yeah. You can't quite walk to, you know, the pharmacy with Bitcoin or to the grocery store with Bitcoin and go get yourself some food. But this is the act of a dictator.
Well, 100%. because think about what they're doing here, right? They would rather see you and your family starve to death. I mean, really, I mean that very literally. They're cutting off your access to your own money that you have earned through your own work, and they want you to potentially starve to death because you are not obeying the government.
The other thing that's been interesting to watch is that they're making these acts of the truckers illegal as they go.
Yeah.
These weren't illegal to start with.
Yeah.
There was nothing about parking your truck
or
downtown
honking.
Or honking.
No.
There was nothing about bringing gas to the truckers. Yeah. There was nothing about that.
Well, and listen to how they use it now as propaganda, because then they get to say in their speeches, well, this is an illegal act.
Right.
This is an illegal act. And then they say, my favorite is when Justin Trudeau says, most Canadians don't feel this way.
And
it's like, I don't think that's true.
I think you're on the losing end of this.
If most didn't feel this way, you wouldn't have this problem to start with.
Right.
Yeah.
But let's just remember, I've got four friends, and there's hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans that are being canceled by their banks.
Mm. Jeez.
Here in our country. For taking a political stance. One of my friends, Nick Vujicic, no arms, no legs. How can you go against this guy? Amazing. Nick got given 24 hours by his bank, Chase Bank, to pull his money out.
What?
Yeah, 100%. Purely because he made some statements, you know, on his pro-life preferences and his pro-life.
Wow.
So there's Americans being debanked in this country.
I believe it.
And so it is a global mission that just rears its head a lot uglier in Canada because they have less freedom there than we have here. It's almost like Trudeau's able to accelerate the mission, where Biden can't quite get away with it as aggressive as Trudeau can. But this is where they're all heading to.
Yeah, which, and by the way, the Canadian National News Network, CBC, in talking about all of these protests. They said they had some experts come on and say, you know what? The term freedom, it's a, look, guys, it's a slippery concept.
It's a dog whistle.
It is. It's
no
thrived
doubt.
Among far-right groups.
Yeah.
So you got to just be careful when you talk about freedom. You don't want that freedom. All right? You need to stay away from that unless you're some far-right extremist.
They're also trying, in the media in Canada right now, to position the truckers and those who support them as Russian agents. Have you seen that?
Oh, of course.
They've gone
of
so
course.
Far.
Of course. So was Trump, right?
Right.
I mean, of
this really
the
is the exact same playbook.
We played
you,
a Canadian
it is,
broadcast company.
It's one
company.
Playbook globally. They play off one book.
We played a CBC report this
oh
morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Where they're talking about them as Russian agents.
No.
All
yeah.
these truckers are
yeah.
part of the KGB.
Did they even
yeah.
try to explain how they came to
not,
that conclusion?
Not really, no.
I would have loved to no. have heard
oh
that explanation.
Really. It's pretty amazing.
Golly.
It's pretty amazing.
It's laughable, actually.
It is. But it's
sad,
laugh so you don't cry.
Yeah, laugh
right?
so you don't cry.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, we've got more to come, but first we want to thank our sponsor, Built Bar. So if you have not yet gotten on the Built Bar train, what are you waiting for? I'm getting emails, messages all the time. I just got one, I think, earlier this morning that was like, my husband just got a shipment of like 5 Built Bar orders in and said, I blame Sarah. It's Sarah's fault. It's totally Sarah's fault. You know what? I will take that blame happily because Built Bar is a protein bar. So you're putting something in your body that's going to be good. It's low calorie. It's low carb. It's low sugar, but it's high in protein. It's high in fiber. It is going to keep you full and satisfied. And you feel like you're cheating on your diet because it's all covered in 100% chocolate. The flavors are all, they've got a ton of different flavors. They're all delicious. You feel like you are really eating a candy bar, but you're not. You're going to stay on track with your goals. You got to go to built.com. Use promo code news15. You'll save 15% off of your order. Guys, they've got things like cherry barcia, coconut flavored, salted caramel, mint brownie. They've got something for everyone over there. Go check it out and get you some. It is built.com, promo code news15. Well, as some cities and locales are actually dialing down their COVID restrictions, starting today, Boston residents and tourists 12 years old and up will need proof of having received 2 COVID-19 vaccine shots in order to enter certain indoor facilities, restaurants, bars, nightclubs, gyms, movie theaters, a bunch more. And, it's really interesting that they keep targeting the children. I wonder why they're mm-hmm. doing this. But Boston Mayor Michelle Wu, who you may have seen recently in a viral video. Look, I think things are going great over in Boston for Michelle Wu. She recently hosted an Instagram Live where I don't think that she was receiving the interactive comments that were desired. And for some reason, she's mayor. So you would think that she would know how to talk through it mm-hmm. and just keep going. And I think
but
this
no.
one, yeah, this one really
she
caught
seized.
Her off guard. Watch.
Since she's unable to join.
If you guys are listening, you are ruining our great city. You discriminate, period. Medical discrimination and apartheid. Resign. She's just staring at this, just dumbfounded.
I'm saying nothing.
In the meantime, I will.
Yes.
Yeah. Just fill time by answering any questions anyone has.
Any questions anyone
no
has.
No questions.
Medical tyranny is still tyranny. Allow individual choice.
Friends who.
Stop the segregation.
Have different. Oh,
then she has one
happy
person.
New Year. Yes.
Happy Lunar New Year. Oh, happy New Year. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm going to respond to that one. When will you lift the mandates? Sad for our beloved Boston businesses.
Yeah, I mean,
unmask
we're
our kids.
With the congressman's team and. If it comes out, but I will log out and log back in.
Oh, will you? Okay. No, that's good. That's good. We get the gist of it. Poor Michelle Wu was not expecting, I think, that welcome on Instagram.
I wish Biden
Live.
Would do the same thing. Wouldn't that be great? I'd love to see the messages that he's scrolling through.
It would be a similar response, though.
It would.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Staring
yeah.
at the screen.
Sure for sure.
Would. Look, I said.
But even after all of that.
Yeah.
Then they come up with this policy, your children have to be jabbed twice in order to enter
and
restaurants.
Like you said, they keep targeting the least vulnerable.
Yes, the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
why?
You know, you get a kid, you get mm-hmm. the mom. You get a kid,
yeah.
you get the parent. That's Disney's model. Get
yeah.
the kid, the wallet will open, right? Well, you get the kid vaxxed, the whole family's going to take it.
You know, out of 73 million kids up to 18 years old, there were 800 deaths as of a couple of weeks ago. Now, of the 800, I was just reading an article that claimed most of those had comorbidities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the actual number of deaths up to 18 years old was something like 26 or 28.
Of actually COVID, which is an inflammatory
just from
disease.
Specifically COVID-19, yeah. And that's it.
Yeah.
That is an unbelievable number.
When you have 400 plus, 425 or 400 plus kids shot and killed in Chicago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In 5 months.
You're right.
And so, yeah.
I mean, it's just bizarre because you see places like Nevada. It just, look, I'm not going to question what's going on when I see the liberal narrative falling apart in real time. But it is really interesting to watch because you have places like Nevada, you have other places that are rolling these things back. Mm-hmm. And then you have places like Boston who decide 2 years later that they're going to implement these rigid vaccine card policies. So it's just bizarre. And by the way, in the leading causes of death for 10 to 14-year-olds, there's accidents, suicide, cancer, homicide, birth defects, heart disease, chronic lower respiratory tract diseases, diabetes, flu, stroke. Those are all higher than COVID.
You know what? Mm-hmm. The one we should be talking about because of COVID that went to the top three of the list because of COVID, because of lockdowns, is teen suicide.
Right.
Teen suicide went through the roof.
Yeah.
Because of lockdowns, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So even the collateral damage because of COVID produced more deaths in children than the disease itself.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's just insane to me that we continue doing this to our children when you look at the actual data. Well, I don't say we. We're not doing it, but certain government entities continue messing with people's kids. You'd think that they would have learned with what happened in Virginia with the newly elected governor, mm-hmm. that you don't mess with people's kids.
Yep.
You just don't mess with people's children. Unfortunately, the Democrats know nothing else but to just double down on the insane policies that they keep creating, because I think they feel like if they don't double down, they would be admitting that they were wrong in the first place, and they can't ever do that.
Yeah, so which they were, continue. By the way. They were
right.
wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to watch some of the leadership in European countries like the UK, mm-hmm. who have dropped all restrictions now.
Yes.
The
right.
Netherlands, who have dropped all restrictions
yep.
now.
Yep.
And those are the ones who are usually headed in the other direction. Mm-hmm. Instead, now it's some of our states and cities and municipalities heading in the other direction.
Even California. Today's the 15th. Didn't California drop it all today? So I think
they did.
Except for the children, remember?
Except for children. Of course, you drop everything. But I wonder what the Bostonian mob, you know, because there's a serious mob in Boston. I wonder what they have to say. Maybe it's time for the inner city to rise up against the mayor a little bit and say, no, thank you. We're not doing it. We're not jabbing our kids. Maybe they need some truckers.
Maybe it's time for another nuclear enema.
Maybe it might be.
I don't know. Just saying, in Boston. I don't know. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back. It's crazy. All right, before we go, just a reminder, make sure that you tune in and subscribe, follow these two gentlemen at the table, Yaku Buyans, host of The Bottom Line, and Pat Gray, host of Pat Gray Unleashed, who also, like, he loves social media.
Oh, I do.
Loves it. He does nothing but tweet all day, and it's really him, too.
Right.
So make sure that you are following him on Twitter.
Please do.
Find his podcast everywhere podcasts are available. Also find our podcast, guys. Those of you who are watching, you watch us every day, or maybe you listen to us every day, and you haven't gone and taken the 2 seconds that it would take to go subscribe, rate, and review. It helps us. It helps more people be able to find the show, and you may see your review read live on air, like the one today from Kate Tuttle, who says, I've been a fan of your show for about a year and a half when I discovered it. Since that time, I've listened to you beg everyone to rate and review the show, and it never felt like you were talking to me. Then earlier this week, it felt like you were yelling directly at me, Sarah. So here's your review. I love your show, the topics, guests, especially Yaku, the humor and the demoralizing hits to poopy pants Biden. Keep up the great work, Kevin Tuttle of Wisconsin. We appreciate that, Kevin. And also, yes, I'm talking to you. Yes, you. Go review the show.
stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.